popped in for about 4 weeks. Peter Dynan, where have you been?
Good morning, David, and good morning to your listeners. Been very lucky. I was on a nice holiday, or adventure, I should say, for a couple of weeks. We went to Flores Island.
Flores?
Yeah, in Indonesia. It's about 2 hours west of... 2 hours west of, sorry, 2 hours east of Bali on the flight. Oh, so it's in that those, it's in the Flores Strait Islands. Yeah. So we went there and yeah, we had a great time.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, it was tough. We got on a little.
I mean, you were talking earlier about an adventure. What sort of adventure?
Yes, I went with Isabella and Jack. It's a bit like going to National Geographic. These little islands, and the Flores Straits. It's very dinosaur country, you know. It's like going back in time. So we got a little boat and a good captain, and which we slept on, and went out, checked the Komodo dragons, and climbed and trekked and looked for those prehistoric monsters.
Oh, they're big dragons.
They're the huge. Yeah. A lot of their saliva is in the teeth. You know, they'll bite an animal, and then, because they're not the fastest animals in the world, but then they can slowly wear them down, and that's how they get their prey. But yeah, that was great, and a lot of snorkeling with the manta rays. And I was saying to you before, like one night we pulled up some mangroves, and that sunset, millions of bats, you know, covered the sky, so it was a black sky, and they flew over to the mainland to eat the insects and what have you. And then for the rest of the 7 or 8 days, we got a car and we drove through the center of the island and climbed a lot of volcanoes and slept in villages, and, you know, were very lucky to sort of pull on the side of the road and eat some crayfish and what have you. But well, actually, one thing was interesting. We toured up to like a town and we had nowhere to stay. We were sort of, you know, finding places on the way, and there was a convent and they were taking in people. So we stayed at this convent. It was beautifully clean, and it was about sort of 5:30 at night. And
you stayed overnight? Like,
yeah, the convent, like yeah. They just sort of, you know, let travellers stay there, I guess. And all of a sudden there's this beautiful singing. And they were in the courtyard behind us, the nun choir, you know, one on the piano, one on the cello, I guess. And it was beautiful, you know, yeah. So we were blessed because we weren't allowed to watch them. They were practicing for an event or something. But it was for an hour and a half we listened to the nuns sing, you know.
How beautiful.
Yeah.
In that environment.
In that environment.
So beautiful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we sort of climbed the volcano that day and then we came back and we're all sort of tired and we're just resting, you know, sort of 5:30. Yeah. And then this beautiful music came to us. So very diverse. It was a very diverse sort of holiday.
Yeah. But Jack is your boy. How old is he?
Jack's 14 now. So saying to you before, you know, it took him about a day and a half to get his head around it, you know, how we get organised. I'm like, Dad, we've got nowhere to stay tonight. We'll find somewhere, you know.
It's fairly primitive.
Yeah, it's backward, and you sort of, you can't book ahead. You just look at the pull up to towns and where you go. A lot of places are not internet. Yeah. But no, he really embraced it. I said, you know, we were trudging up these volcanoes and hills, and he was sort of headphones on and playing the air guitar and running up there. And at the, you know, we stayed at a village one night and deep into the mountains, and he sort of was, you know, talking to the chief. And yeah, it was a really good experience for him. And I said, you know, for a 14-year-old boy, he really embraced it. So no Wi-Fi, you know, it was fantastic.
No telly.
Well, no, not at all.
You've got to find your own entertainment.
I think he was lucky to plug into a bit of music every now and then if his phone had some charge. But no, none of that. It was really part of, you know, amongst the people. And they're poor, you know. It's probably one under subsistence farming there. You know, there's sort of a lot of people sort of scraping around and just getting a bit of food and eating it. So that was good to see. Good for him.
Oh,
but it was the most wonderful trip.
Yeah, and you kept well. I mean, there's no hygiene and that would be... Probably not terrible, but it wouldn't be the best.
No, I think we all sort of copped a bit of rundown and exactly that. You know, you've got to always keep your hands clean and bacteria. And when they cook your food, sometimes the bacteria get in. So we all sort of caught a bug on the way. But, you know, it's part of it.
come on a holiday and catch a bug.
Yeah, we sort of, it's one of those holidays where we had to come home to relax and recharge.
Oh, yeah.
So it was the most wonderful trip.
Yeah. All right, let's get down to some world problems in health and whatever. And you've done some research, plastics in water, and we've seen on the telly of recent weeks amazing thousands of tons of plastic.
Yeah, it's like
in our oceans.
Plastic islands, aren't they? There's where the two oceans connect. I think it's the Pacific and the Atlantic, or they're all around the world now, but you can see them from space, these plastic islands that are caught in the current. I think the Norwegians have got some machine that's going to pick the plastics up and try, you know, get them out of the ocean. And we all know that, but it's sort of got worse now. You know, now what they've found is plastic, microplastics have been found in bottled water. So I try to buy good quality water, an Evian or San Pellegrino, but even those both waters have had microplastics in them. And then they did a from there they did a test on tap water, and they found around the world, even in your tap water, you have these microplastics which is getting into your tap water. The USA was the worst. This one's not so great. In Germany, they found it in your beer.
Oh, no.
Could you imagine?
No, you cannot. No.
And Germans like their beer. Yeah, so imagine all that plastic in them. The French did a study, and they found that 10 tons of dumped, I guess, more than microplastics fall and perish each year. So it's in our environment. We're breathing it in. It falls on there. And then when you research it further, 8.3 billion tons of plastic have been produced since 1950. So amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Where's it all go? I mean, it doesn't decompose.
That's right. It lives forever, just about.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, the bottles, the plastic bottles used to contain a BPA plastic, but that leached into the bottles and it was causing cancers and what have you. So then they changed it to a, like they call it BPS, a different type of plastic, but that's still leaching into our bottled water. So especially if you've got a bottled water sitting in the car and the sun gets to it, the water, it goes into it. And then if you find out what it actually does to you, what they're worried about is that these microscopic plastics will be so small they'll get into your cells and then into your organs. And they're not sure what damage this will do, but they're pretty worried about this. So they're not sure exactly what will happen, but if it does get that stage where these plastics are so small and they're into in all our cells and our organs, they're thinking we could be in for a bit of trouble.
Well, it'll do to us what we've been doing to the animals yeah. and the fish for years and years, and you see fish with plastic rice
and turtles. And turtles. I quite like, I think now McDonald's and stuff are doing away with plastic, Starbucks are doing away with plastic straws, and it's a big, people are sort of saying, hey, it's enough now, we don't need them. I love the idea that you don't do plastic bags anymore,
yeah,
paper bags and what have you, going back. It's not, I'm not saying it's a lazy alternative, but it's an easy alternative, isn't it, all this plastic. I mean, we were on the flight coming back, I just thought, I have a plastic cup of water, they throw the cup away. You know, there's got to be an alternative. So if you wanted, I mean, to be healthy and try to get these plastics out of your system and out of the water, at your house, you could put a water filter on your house. Try not to use plastic straws or cups, or keep away from it. When you go to the coffee shop, bring your own cup. These days, it's very popular. As I said, plastic straws are sort of thing of the past, the paper ones. And your diet. If you've got a good, healthy diet, we call it a detox diet, fermented foods, activated charcoal, some spirulina, a good fiber in your diet, green tea, that'll help you detox and get rid of the plastics out of your body.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's I think it's changing, but it's going to take a long time to change. And yeah, if you can, definitely, you know, detox and eat healthy and activated charcoal and get rid of the plastic out of your body.
And of course, the plastic wrapping and all that. You go to the hardware store and you buy 10 screws.
Oh, yeah.
There's solid plastic, which you've got to get a saw or a knife to cut it open. You can't tear it open. It's so solid. And
how does that decompose?
Back in your day and my day, we'd go to the hardware store and there'd be a box full of screws. Yes. And you take out half a dozen or however many you wanted and put them in a paper bag.
Yeah, I do think it's changing. I think if people sort of put up enough of a fuss, they said, you know, you bring your own your cup for coffee, and next time you get a plastic straw, you say, no, look, I'll do without. It has to change. Yes. And it is getting there. But as I said, 8.3 billion tonnes since 1950. That's a lot of plastic to be in the environment.
Frightening, isn't it? Another topic which you've done some research, iodine.
Yeah, so to talk about iodine, you really have to talk about the thyroid gland. And so the thyroid gland is in your neck. So actually, if you put your hand on your neck, you can actually feel it, the thyroid. And it's a very important organ or gland of the body. Its main job is it regulates hormones in the body. You know, it's the regulator. You need more testosterone, more cortisol, whatever it is. It comes from the thyroid gland. It controls the metabolic rate of every cell, the metabolic rate of every cell. It creates energy throughout the body. It will regulate your heart and blood to the organs, so it will tell you how much blood has to go through your organs. It controls the metabolisms of fats and sugars. And also, the thyroid is very much involved in brain development. So it's a very, very important part of our body. Now, if the thyroid isn't functioning properly, we become lethargic. There's muscle weakness, fatigue, you have a feeling of cold. A lot of people get depressed, and weight gain. So a lot of girls will come down to our gym, yes, and they're gaining weight, and they do a thyroid test, and they realize it's not working properly, and it's like, okay, this is why I'm sort of a little bit depressed and gaining weight. And now, to answer the question about iodine, all those can be, well, a lot of them can be helped because a lot of people are iodine deficient, a third of the population. So we say, what is iodine? Iodine is the essential mineral required by the thyroid to function properly and regulate hormones and brain development. Well, I was talking to a doctor this morning about this, and the word, I think it's cretin, is actually a disease that was from brain deficiency, from lack of iodine. And then we use that as a slang term, calling someone a cretin. But that was actually, cretin, because it affected people's brains. Mm. Now, as your thyroid, if you put your hand in your neck, if it's sort of sore or big, that pretty much means you're iodine deficient. It's not working. David's got his hand around his neck. Not so tight, David.
I don't think I'm well.
But to fix this, we can get iodine from our food. So seaweed has a lot of iodine in it.
I was about to say, we're down the beach with a plastic cleaning that up. We could have a handful of seaweed.
Some fish, cod, a non-fatty fish, dairy, some eggs, oysters, always good. Green tea again. And it's quite interesting that Japan have a lot of iodine in their diet, you know, just because, obviously because of their diet. Mm. And they live a long time and they're a very healthy race. And a lot of people are saying that's from iodine. Also, actually, iodine is very important for radiation. So when they had their nuclear problems in Japan, what have you, they gave everyone iodine.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, because it's such an important product, I remember, you probably remember that the salt was fortified with iodine, iodinized salt, so the government put it, that's how important it is. But if you can't get it from your food and you think you might be a little bit iodine deficient, there's actually a product out there called Lugol's iodine. And you can put it in your water. A couple of drops in your water, or I mean, I can't see it, but I can show David. I've got some on my skin. I put it on my skin every day, and you put a size of say a 50-cent piece on your forearm, and if there's a mark there, but if that mark stays for 24 hours, you've got enough iodine in your body. But if that mark disappears within 24 hours, the body is absorbing it, and the body wants the iodine. So it's a good little marker for people. I saw
that spot on your wrist.
I thought I cut myself.
I thought you were going rusty.
I mean, in saying that, remember when you do travel and you're in these developing countries, take iodine, you put it in your water to purify your water. And I mean, years ago, and even now, if you've got a cut and you put iodine on it, it sterilizes it. So there's many uses for it. So it's a really, really important mineral. Try get it from your food. We know how important the thyroid gland is, you know, regulating all your hormones and brain development and everything like that. It's so important. So try get iodine into the diet.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Trina had to, several years ago, had her thyroid removed. And the symptoms you described, depression and feeling awful, overweight, etc. And it was the old thyroid, which was diseased, and they had to take it out. But now she does take supplements, prescribed by the GP, of course. Very, very important.
Yeah, and I said, I said a lot of people come up to the fitness centre and they're very much like, I know, I'm feeling tired and lethargic and you know, weak and fatigued. And we say, look, get your thyroid checked out and get some iodine. And we've seen some really good improvements there. So, touch your neck if you feel it's a bit sore or swollen.
Yes, I'm not well, I might have to go and check myself out.
Next step is to get it checked out and try and get some more iodine food into your diet. And then from there, if need be, some Lugol's iodine. And you can put some on your skin.
From the chemist?
Yeah, you might have to get it. I'm not sure. You might have to get it prescribed. They used to sell it over the counter at chemist or a pharmacist. A pharmacist will do it. Go see the pharmacist, and they will. I'm sure they can get it for you.
Lugol iodine and just put a little scratch.
Like a 50-cent piece after a shower on your skin. And if it's there within 24 hours, the stain, you're okay. Mm. But if it's not there and it gets absorbed in the body's clever, it's like, we need this, then you know that you're iodine deficient.
Wow. All right, Michael, listen, you better go back to the office, have a rest. You've been busy today after your holiday.
Back to work. And then we did I was saying to you before, after we did the adventure in Flores Island, we did the latest Freedom Adventure, which was good. We took everyone down to Deep Creek, got a bus, and it was wonderful. If any of your listeners want to do a good walk, that Deep Creek is beautiful. You know, it's got everything you want. It's got oceans and waterfalls and wildlife, and it takes about 5 hours. So they did that, so that was good.
Yes, I was going to come on that day, but my leg was a bit sore.
No, you're the bus driver, David. and the lunch. You can do some yoga afterwards.
Oh, my word, I can. Peter Damon.
Thank you, David.
Freedom Fitness in Flinders Street, next to the German Club. Is that sold yet?
It's got a big for sale sign up there.
Sadly.
sadly. Yeah, it's a tough a tough one for them. I mean, that's generational. I don't know where they're going to go, because there's still a lot of members.
Oh, yeah.
So I would presume maybe they'll go to the Austrian club. Or, I still don't know, but there is a there is a for sale sign there. So we'll have new neighbours soon.
Yes, no, they will be going somewhere. The club isn't finished. Huge community. They'll find new premises. But it was just so Bavarian or German, Germanic. And it was just...
it's an iconic spot for the German. You know, everyone knows it. Yeah. And everyone like everyone has been there for whatever reason. So, but
been
they'll,
there
they'll,
many
they'll,
times. Schnitzel and schnapps.
Yes, yeah. Very popular.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks, we'll catch up in a couple... You're not going away again?
No, I'm here now. And, look forward to a couple of weeks.
All right. We'll be back 2 weeks Thursday with Freedom Fitness.